We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Talk about the changes that have happened in NOPD and redeployment and so forth. Good morning, Captain. How are you?
Good morning, Tommy.
Tell me what exactly has happened and what the rank and file officers are thinking about it.
Well, you know, the deployment or redeployment is just the beginning. And, you know, we haven't seen any real change in terms of the number of personnel assigned to a district. What's changing a little bit is the people that are already in the district and how many are dedicated to uniform patrol versus other services that they were previously using. Mm-hmm. So some of the detectives and some of the administrative personnel have now been retasked to doing some patrol work, but we're not talking about a huge amount of people, even though it sounds like a lot of people when they say, well, 75. When you break that down over the eight districts and understand that they're the same people that were in the districts, they're just doing some more patrol work. It's helpful, but it's not a panacea. It's not going to solve the problem in the overall.
So it's been said it's time to start the fight, time to get the streets safer, and that's exactly what we're doing. Do you concur with that?
Well, it's a start. You know, again, we do have to put more people answering calls. We have two general aspects of patrol that we are responsible for. One is proactive end, which we really haven't done in the last 2.5 years, which is one of the reasons crime is spiking. And the other one is the service end. And that's probably the most important one because that's when people call for help and they expect the police to show up and show up in a reasonable time. The only way for us to improve that is to put more people answering those calls. And then hopefully on the other end, the proactive people will reduce the number of calls and the needs for the police. But in the meantime, remember, the police are the only 24-hour, 7-day-a-week, 365-day-a-year government entity that will respond to your call for help, even though it may be late sometimes, but we will show up. And we're the only agency that does that. So we get a lot of service calls. And the only way for us to keep up with that is to add more personnel.
I was on DeGaulle the other day, and I noticed an NOPD unit, and I was just wondering what they were doing, because I know they're overwhelmed with calls. But does that mean they don't have time to patrol, that they're just going from call to call to call? How is that balance reached? I'm just wondering in each district.
Well, you have to understand that you know, yes, they're going from call to call to call, but the call isn't necessarily resolved by just going there, handling something, and walking away. Mm-hmm. There's paperwork that has to be done. We've talked about the consent decree many times. There's a lot of oversight and a lot of paperwork and a lot of documentation that has to go along with all of their actions and the things they have to do. So it takes time to wrap that up before they go to the next call.
No, but I was just wondering, do you guys patrol and women patrol, or are you just going from call to call? Are you patrolling while you're going from call to call?
That entirely depends upon the hour of the day in the district we're talking about. You know, there are some districts that sit with 20, 30, 40, I've seen as many as 50 to 70 calls backlog. Are they going to be patrolling? No, they're not. They're going to be answering those calls one at a time until they get to the end, which they almost never do. Mm-hmm. Other districts, you may actually achieve an end to the backlog and you can patrol, but it depends on the time of the day in the district.
What about morale? I see a quote here in a Channel 4 story, Chief Deputy Superintendent Goodley saying that officer morale is on the upswing. Do you think it is?
Well, I think there are things that are going into that. We've been begging for a change in leadership in PIB, and we got that. So that's a huge thing. That's probably the number one thing that officers wanted to see, and that's changed. And, of course, the presentation possibility of a very good financial package, okay, that is partially approved but still has yet to be fully approved. But that's a really generous financial package, and officers are looking forward to that. And they're hoping that's going to come. So to those aspects, yes. Now, some of the other things, the consent decree, clearly that's not going anywhere. Promotional aspects, it's been suggested by the consultants, it's been suggested by us, but so far no movement on that. So I think I'd say cautiously optimistic would be the better way of putting it.
Talk about that incentive package, if you will, or what's being proposed, because I think a lot of people are under the impression that races have already gone through and that NOPD is already making a lot more money, but that's not necessarily the case, is it?
Well, it's not the case at all. Really, what's happened is the mayor's initial financial bonus has been approved. That means that officers will get a bonus allegedly in March. So we will get the first installment of those bonuses in March. Now, there is a pay raise that has been approved for 5% beginning in January. When January comes, I guess we'll see if we get it. But that's supposed to happen, but it hasn't happened yet. There's supposed to be a 5% one-time bonus given by the end of the year. We don't have a firm date on that, but, of course, again, that hasn't happened either. There's supposed to be 2.5% next January of 2024, and another 2.5% January of 2025. They're trying to up that to 5% as opposed to 2.5%, but, again, that's in 2024 and 2025. So far, we haven't seen anything, but hopefully we will.
Has anything stopped in terms of attrition?
The attrition, you know, in if you want to look at it in the last 2 or 3 weeks, it's probably a little bit slower, which is certainly not a bad thing. That could just be momentary blip in it, or maybe it's the result of some of these things going on. Hopefully it is. And, you know, the attrition will continue to slow. But we're right now sitting at, I believe, 138 officers down for the year, which if you do the math, that works out to one every 47 hours. So we're still losing one every other day on the average at this point.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up here. We'll come back. We're talking to Captain Michael Glasser, the president of PANO, about how NOPD officers are feeling about the new patrol strategy and his take on the consent decree hearings. We'll talk about that more when we return. If you have any questions or comments, 504-260-1870. Tommy Tucker, back in a flash, WWL. 21, another beautiful fall day in Louisiana, Thursday, September 29th. We're talking to Captain Michael Glasser, president of PANO, about some of the changes that have begun, I guess, to take place with NOPD. One thing Rafael Goyeneche mentioned to me, Captain, was about, I think, Sean Ferguson, and I tried to find a story and I couldn't, saying basically if you've had, and I'm paraphrasing here, if you applied and you had credit problems, check back because, and again, I'm paraphrasing all of this because maybe they wouldn't use that as a disqualifier. What are your thoughts on all of that? How important is it that a new applicant for the NOPD not have any credit problems or what have you?
Well, you know, each case should be individually scrutinized and looked at. Sometimes there are reasons for that, and there are legitimate reasons for it, and things that are understandable, versus a long history of problems. I think by, if we want to blanketly reduce the discriminator of bad credit history, I think that's a mistake to do so. We don't want to take people on board that already have financial problems and already have demonstrated that they have difficulty managing their own lives, much less being able to help us with ours. Mm-hmm. So I think that's problematic to say that. I think it's wrong to discriminate and remove everybody anytime you just have a bad credit score. I think that needs to be looked at and see why. Things happen to people on occasion, and they're understandable. But if the people have long histories of that, I think that's a mistake to turn around and bring people on board and then expect them to behave differently once they're here. I think you can expect the same behavior. And I think that's a mistake to do that. We don't want to lower the bar here. We did that some years ago,
Yep. And
we had very serious problems with that.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, in terms of the bar, is it high enough for new recruits, or should it be higher? Are you satisfied where it is?
Well, we always want it to be higher, but at the same time, we have to be realistic and practical about it. There are things that we have relaxed Should we have? Maybe so. You know, public mores and values change and morals change, laws change. So sometimes we've had to relax those things. Some of those things are inconsequential. Some of them can wind up being problematic. But there are some things that should not be lowered in order to just gain more bodies. We did that, like I said, we did that a few years ago, and we wound up with Len Davis and Antoinette Franks and other individuals that we later had to pay a dear price to get rid of.
If you could, on death row, as a matter of fact, if you could make three changes, or however many, some specific changes that you would like to see, if there are more than three, I won't limit you to three, what would you change, that the things that would make a legitimate difference, a marked difference, as soon as possible without compromising the quality of NOPD? What would you do?
Well, the number one thing we have to address, in my opinion, is the attrition. Okay, nothing we do will work beyond the next few weeks because of attrition. If we're losing one officer every other day, it doesn't matter if we save 40 officers for civilianizing. We lose them in 80 days, we lose 40 officers at this rate. So you're going to break even in 80 days. So it may be a good plan, but it's not going to last. The bottom line is we have to end the attrition. We know how to end the attrition. We've already discussed this many times, is what we have to do. The city took a good step in changing PIB leadership. They have to address the promotional issues. They have to get on the stick and get that financial package, whatever it turns out to be, but they have to get that cemented and put in place. And they have to work harder to get this consent decree, or at least some of the constraints of the consent decree, done so we can have lateral transfers in, and then the retention will feed itself. That's the number one thing. But in terms of what we do on a daily basis, we do have to put more personnel answering calls for service, and we need a proactive component in our patrol in order to reduce crime. Otherwise, all we're doing is running from service call to service call. The crime itself is not going to stop. So we haven't had that since May of 2020. They had it very briefly with the DCAT squad that they put together in June. I think July came out, and now it's gone again. We have one organization and department that's doing proactive work. It's not enough for the entire city. It needs a new component. So we need to bring that back. Until we do that, you're not going to see crime go down. You're not going to see any plan work as long as officers keep leaving at this rate.
What keeps you, what keeps officers on the job today? Because it's not a very friendly environment. I'm just being honest, Captain, you know, in terms of backup and everything. It's not, and crime, it's not the safest environment. What keeps them on the job?
Well, you know, it's an interesting job. You know, our calls are varied. You never know what you're going to go for. People call the police for, you know, when a cat gets stuck in a tree, and they call the police when it's an armed robbery in progress. So you never know what you're going to. And then as officers have some experience, they find there are things that capture their interest, whether it's homicide investigation, sex crimes investigation, rape, narcotics, or tactical, for being on a SWAT team. There are things that get their interest later on. It's an interesting job. It's a fun job, and you help people, and there's a fulfillment that comes at the end of it. But at the same time, you want to be able to go home at the end of the day, and at the end of it, because there is a ceiling level, we don't get paid more if we do more. There's a ceiling income that we have. The trade-off is you have a halfway decent pension at the end, and that's what they stay for. They stay for the job they do, the fulfillment they get, and the pension at the end.
What would civilianization look like to you in its best form?
I think that there are many things that we do that can and should be civilianized, but those things are, in my opinion, should be restricted to structure issues. In other words, where people work in a building, in a station, in a structure, somewhere in a bureaucracy where they do those kinds of things. When you start putting them on the street, sending them on calls, even though they may be trained to handle the call that you're sending them on, they're not trained to what the call actually becomes. Most officers are injured or killed not because they knew they were going into a very dangerous situation, because they're aware and they're prepared for that. It's the situation that changes or is different from what they thought they were going on. Situations quickly devolve, and your ability to respond to that and react to it is what makes a difference. Police officers are trained, they're equipped, they're experienced, they're armed. When we start sending civilians, even though they think they're trained for what they're going to do, they never know what they're going to find, just like we don't. We get injured and killed, and we're armed, we're equipped, we're trained, we're experienced. What are they going to do when they show up on something and it changes dramatically? And this is a very, very dangerous environment. We are the murder capital of the country right now. Our murder rate's very high. Our shooting rate's very high. And we all know that there's a great deal of anger in the community. We have road rage incidents. We have people shooting up schools, people shooting up shopping malls, people who are settling arguments with a gun. You just never know what's going to happen. I think it's foolhardy to send civilians on the street to go into those situations, and then we have to rescue them as well. I think that's a huge mistake. So there are things that can and should be civilianized. As long as they're in a building, they're in a structure, they're in a station, I think that's fine. Sending them on the street, you got to be very careful what you send them on.
Well, and that's why I was asking, because that's often offered as a solution, but you know, like when it comes to mental health, I know you guys aren't mental health professionals, but by the same token, people with mental health issues can turn violent. So I don't know how that could be civilianized. Am I missing something here or not?
Well, it's okay to dispatch professionals to go with the police.
Yeah.
And
okay.
Let them do what they can do under the protection of the police. But again, you're not replacing police, okay? You still have to go, and that's the key there. So what we get by doing that isn't really saving personnel. What we're doing is providing a better service to the community because we have professionals on scene. But if we eliminate the police from it, those professionals, it won't take long before some of them get hurt or killed, and I don't want to see that happen. So I think it's a mistake. And remember this with the numbers. Even if we save 40 officers, we don't stop the attrition. 80 days later, those 40 officers we saved are gone. Now what do you do?
So what type of civilianization would work in terms of allowing NOPD in its limited ranks now to do more? Because I'm still not understanding how civilians fit into this.
Well, it's a very limited thing. That's why it's hard to understand. You know, we do have an infrastructure. We have administration. Things have to get done. You know, information has to be tracked. Some of it required whether we had a consent decree or not. The consent decree requires a lot. There's a lot of moving parts. No business, no entity, no organization thrives on just the people on the street. There are people that have to take the calls, people that have to process the things that we're responsible for. There's a lot of things that go into it. A lot of that does not have to be commissioned officers. Those can be civilianized. It's the ones that are on the street that you have to be very careful about.
Any final thoughts?
You know, I'm hoping that we don't lower the bar in terms of hiring. I'm hoping they don't try to use civilianization as a panacea. It is not. I think we need to, again, address the proactive component of policing to help with the crime. We certainly need to have more people answering the calls until we can get a reasonable amount of time when people call for the police and we respond. And we have to firm up those things that we have already identified as a pediatrician and act on them. They're propositions right now, but we need to act on them.
What is it that you say? You said 6 months ago. How do you say that? You said, Captain, 6 months ago, I told you that we were going to be here.
Right. I told you we'd be down another. I told you we'd be down another 100 cops and another 150 murders if we didn't do anything different. And we haven't done anything different.
So what I'm asking you to do now is look ahead. I'm asking you now to look ahead 6 months.
Right. Well, 6 months. If we don't do these things, we're going to see the same thing. We're going to be 200 cops down by the end of the year. We're going to be at 300 murders by the end of the year, and nothing will have changed.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time. Captain Michael Glasser, president of PANO. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk to Dane Cialino, professor of law at Loyola. 33 states, including Louisiana, exempt clergy.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.